Jen was doing a stand-up outside an elementary school. Jesse parked on the street and walked to the chute. He stood outside the shot while Jen did a cute weather quiz and wrapped the segment. She saw him while she was rapping, and as soon as it was over, she came to Jesse and kissed him lightly on the lips. "Did you know the answers to my weather quiz?" she said. "Do you?" "I will when the time comes," she said. "Does anyone care what the answers are?" Jesse said. "Not that I know of," Jen answered. She turned to the crew. "This is my starter husband," she said. The crew smiled. Jesse smiled, too. "Carrie Roberts with the camera, Dolly Edwards makeup, and Tracy Mayo, my producer." They all said hello. "You guys pack up and take off," Jen told the crew. "I'll go with Jesse." "How about you pack up," Dolly said, "and I go with Jesse." Everybody laughed, and Jen put her arm through Jesse's, and they walked to his car. "What about that girl? Billy? She sounds like someone you know." "Yeah, sometimes you get that way. You spend so much time thinking about a victim that you're surprised when you remember you've never met them." "So you know who she is now," Jen said. "I know. I'm not quite sure I can prove it yet, but I know it's Billy." As he drove, Jesse took a manila envelope down from the car visor and took out a picture of Billy. "It's blown up from a small picture of the family." "She's cute," Jen said. "I guess so. Smile looks awfully forced, though." "Everybody's smile looks forced in a posed picture," Jesse said. "Except you professionals." "That would be me," Jen said. "Show business isn't for sissies," Jesse said. They had dinner in Cambridge at a new restaurant called Oleana, which Jen was frantic to try. The restaurant was good, but Jesse knew it meant they probably weren't going to sleep together. When Jen was prepared to have sex, she always came to Paradise and spent the night with Jesse. He rarely spent the night at her place. Some day, when the balance between them wasn't so delicate, maybe he'd ask her why. For now, he knew it was an evening which would end when he drove her home. "Have you been drinking lately?" Jen said in the car. "Now and then," Jesse said. "You didn't drink anything tonight?" "No." "Why not?" Jen said. "Scared to, I guess," Jesse said. "Scared of what?" "Scared it will get out." "It?" "How I feel. I love you. I'm mad at you. I'm jealous. I'm full of, hell, I don't know, yearning, I guess. I have to keep it in its cage." "And you're afraid if you drink it will jump out?"
"Yeah."
"So you drink alone?"
"Yeah."
"So if it gets out, there's no one around." Jesse nodded. He could feel Jen looking at him. "What I don't understand," Jen said, "is if you can choose not to drink sometimes, why can't you choose not to drink all the time?"
"I don't know."
They drove over the Longfellow Bridge in silence. When they reached the Charles Street Circle, Jen said, "You need help with this, Jesse." Jesse shrugged. "You don't have to start big," Jen said. "Maybe just talk to a guy about drinking."
"You know a guy?" Jesse said.
"Yes." "How do you know a guy?"
"My shrink told me."
"You've been talking about me in therapy?" Jesse said. Jen laughed gently. "Of course," she said. "Would you go talk to this guy? I can make you an appointment."
"He a psychiatrist?"
"No, he's not a doctor. He's just somebody that has had some success helping people with drinking."
"You ever meet him?"
"Yes, I went to see him."
"About me?"
"Yes." It went through him viscerally, shimmering along the nerve traces, jolting his stomach. He was part of her therapy. She was trying to help him. He was still in her life. He mattered.
"If I go," Jesse said, "I can make the appointment."